My friends, grace and mercy and peace be to you, God's baptized people, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the words, again, from our gospel reading today, just a portion of that reading, starting at verses 21 and 22. Now, when all the people were baptized, when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased. This is God's word. Please be seated. In the 5th century, there was a mathematician and a philosopher known as Zeno of Elea, Italy, who proposed a little mind experiment in which you imagine yourself crossing a typical street. But in doing so, you are to limit each step that you take to half the distance of the previous step. So you can imagine you're ready to cross the street. Your first step across the street is 2 feet, and you're 2 feet closer to your goal. Now your second step will be half that distance, so now you go 1 foot. Now you're 3 feet closer to your goal. Your third step will be half that distance, so now the next step is 6 inches. And so on. Each step being half the length of the previous step. And the paradox occurs when you realize that in doing this, you will always be making progress, but you will never get to the other side. You're always moving forward, but never getting where you want to go. It's what's called the paradox of progress. Zeno has us always moving forward, but never arriving. Because the distance we are trying to cross is finite, but the divisibility of the steps is infinite, and there is no hope that we're ever going to get there. Have you ever felt like life is like that? Always moving, never attaining, always striving and never arriving. And it's no wonder we sometimes feel like we're spinning our wheels like that, because something like that paradox is precisely the predicament that we have found ourselves in ever since the human family was plunged into sin. And violence, strife, bloodshed, pain, war, oppression, injustice, crime became our way of life. And because sin separated us from God and from heaven, the only choice that we, the human family, has is to try to get to a better place, to try to get across that street by our own human methods, always trying to make progress, always trying to get to the other side of the street. For the human family, the other side of that street is to get to a world of peace, a world where we respect each other, a world of harmony and justice and prosperity and universal happiness, a heaven on earth, the golden age of man. What a song in the 60s, I think it was, called the Age of Aquarius. It's over there, across the street. And we have tried everything that we can think of to get there. Governmental and economic systems, diplomacy, treaties, alliances, the arts, the sciences, education, innovation. Oh, and surely, after all of that, we have made some progress. And in so many ways, our lives are better than the lives of people, say, 1,000 years ago. And yet, we're still not there, are we? We're not anywhere close. You know, evolutionists tell us that man has been around now for 150,000 years. Roughly 8,000 generations of us. And we still can't get to the other side of the street. We can't get to that golden age that we yearn for. So we're still talking about progress. It's always progress, but never getting where we want to be. We even have a group of people in our country who like to call themselves progressives, which is a de facto admission that after 150,000 years and 8,000 generations, we have failed to get where we want to go. So in distress, we clamor for what? More progress, as if we have the answers. The crowds on the banks of the Jordan River on that day that Jesus was baptized were caught up in the same predicament on a smaller scale. For them, the other side of the street, the heaven that they were trying to reach, was a free and a powerful and a sovereign nation. That's what they wanted to be. That's where they wanted to go, just like in the days of the great King David. But what was preventing them from getting there was Caesar and the Roman Empire and corruption and the abuses of government and murderous tyrants and mighty armies. It was a distressing predicament. Knowledge had failed them. The gods of the surrounding nations that they pursued had failed them. Rules and laws had failed them. Alliances and treaties had failed them. Government had failed them. Walls and weapons had failed them. They had this long history of movement and change that had gotten them nowhere except captivity and with no end in sight. To those who stood on the Jordan River that day, the other side of the street, their heaven, seemed as unattainable as ever. Always striving, never arriving. The problem is much bigger than a philosophical problem. This is a spiritual issue. Those who think that one day the human family is going to achieve on its own that golden age, that we're going to get there on our own, are like the alchemists of the 12th century Europe who thought they could make gold out of base metals like lead and copper. But of course, they could never get there, try as they might. And we, the human family, we cannot reach a golden future if all we have to work with are the base ingredients of human knowledge, human rules, human politics, human ability, human effort. Such efforts are always going to disappoint us. Using human methods will always leave us on that treadmill of progress, always working and striving and never getting there, because you can't make gold out of lead. And you can't make a perfect future out of imperfect people. But maybe there's even a bigger problem here. You know, it's not just that we can't seem to make any progress toward our goal. It's worse than that. Sin has so broken the human family that in many ways we are actually digressing. We're losing ground. The Bible talks about a world not becoming better, but becoming more wicked, more violent, more divided. Jesus said in Matthew 24, because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. Lawlessness will be increased. And sure as shooting, what do we see is happening in our world? Progress? Hardly. I don't know what I see. I see racial tensions increasing. I see the prospect of war rising. I see the virus spreading and violence escalating. The breakdown of the family and therefore of society accelerating. Political divisions deepening. We like to think we're making progress, but sometimes, I don't know, sometimes it feels like one step forward and two steps back. And besides that, what is progress if it never gets you where you want to be? That is the vanity of life without God. A life enslaved to this paradox, this awful paradox of progress. always striving and never arriving. The preacher of Ecclesiastes said, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does man gain by all of the toil with which he toils under the sun?" But we don't despair. All of that changes at the baptism of our Lord Jesus. Listen again. When all the people were being baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened. The heavens were opened. The destination is within sight. Everything that humanity has longed for since we were expelled from paradise is made accessible now. For the first time since the fall, and for all time, forevermore, the destination is reachable. The Son of God, fully human, yet fully divine, enters into the waters of His baptism, and the voice comes from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." And Jesus is revealed by the Father's own voice to be the only perfect, infinite human who is worthy of that perfect, infinite destination, because He is the creator of that destination. Heaven is open to Christ because heaven belongs to Christ. And His baptism provides, our baptism provides that same progress for us. Because even though He physically came up out of the water after His baptism in a very profound and miraculous way, He remains in that water to meet us in our baptism. In the water of our baptism, our failed humanity is killed with Christ upon His cross. And then we come up from that water as if from a tomb, new creations. As Paul said in Romans 8, we read it this morning, we read it at every funeral. "Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ, were baptized into His death, and we were therefore buried with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life." So rejoice in your baptism. You have received at the font what you could not gain for yourself. While mankind is trying in vain and by their own efforts to achieve that heaven on earth, that destination over across the street, God brought heaven to us, to you, in your baptism, and by His declaration that yes, He is pleased with you through Christ the Lord. No more striving, for you are joined to Christ, to whom heaven belongs. Therefore, you are co-heirs with Christ, as St. Paul says, that we may share in His glory. We are like that 11-month little girl who can't quite walk yet. She's trying, but not succeeding yet. Can't get anywhere by that means. And so what does she do? She stands on her dad's comparatively huge foot, grabs his leg, and then dad walks her around the house to squeals of delight. And in those moments, she can walk around and go where he goes, despite her limitations, because she is united to her Father, and she clings to Him. This is what it means to be baptized. Baptism yields true progress for us, because imperfect as we are joined in baptism to a perfect Savior, washed and forgiven, and now we're actually getting somewhere. And heaven is reachable. And so this world, enslaved to this paradox of progress, we'll keep trying to make progress, keep trying to cross this street, getting to its golden era, trying to get there, but never getting there. And yet for us, the Lord has opened that destination. The heavens were opened, and they have never been closed since to those who trust in Christ and are baptized into Him. And now, ours is that kingdom. And now that we are finally free from this awful paradox of progress, now that that destination has been achieved for us, now we really can make some serious progress in this world as we await the consummation of our hope on the other side of that street. No more of this vain pursuit of goals that we can never achieve. No more of this street that we can never cross. Now we turn our efforts to goals that we actually can achieve and streets that we actually can cross through Christ who strengthens us. To grow in faith and in the knowledge of our Lord by getting to worship and Bible study, that we can do as a regular part of our lives. And making progress in faith as we conform more and more to the image of Christ. To grow in love for other people by meeting them in their need. Now that we can do. That's a street we can cross. Loving and supporting them. Making progress by making their lives, one little slice of humanity at a time, a little better. And to open heaven to others by our witness to Jesus Christ. That we can do. That is a street we can cross so that they too may escape this paradox of progress and actually arrive with us at the destination of that heavenly kingdom. Now that is progress that really gets us somewhere. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.